It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Yesterday, a group of former Oconto Falls Public School District students filed a federal civil rights lawsuit alleging that the district in northeastern Wisconsin failed to prevent sexual abuse by teachers and staff members.
The lawsuit alleges the Oconto Falls District fostered a climate that allowed students to be groomed and abused for over 15 years.
In a statement to WPR, the district's superintendent said the school cannot comment on this lawsuit, but remain confident that they will continue to act promptly to any allegations of misconduct.
At the state capitol this month, Democratic Governor Tony Evers signed a pair of bills into law, one that makes grooming a felony crime, another that requires school districts to adopt policies on appropriate communication between employees and students. Corrine Hess is a WPR reporter covering K-12 education. Corey, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
This complaint spans years at the Oconto Falls School District. What's at the heart of it? What's being alleged?
No, there's a lot of things being alleged. And like you said, it spans 20 years and it includes grooming and sexual conduct by multiple staff members involving more than a dozen minor students at the high school.
And at the press event yesterday, it was three students who came forward. Is that right? Former students?
Yes, the complaint was filed by three women who are now adults, who they all graduated from Oconto Falls High School, and they say that they were sexually abused by school staff when they were teenagers. But their attorneys say that there are at least 14 other known victims who are willing to share their stories.
Why, Corey, is a suit being filed now if the alleged abuse went on for, 20 years?
Well, their attorney says that these women are coming forward now because they want to solve what they say is an institutional problem at both the high school and at the district. They say that there's a culture where sex abusers and groomers and other school staff believe that what's going on there is okay, and they don't believe that it will end unless they come forward.
Okay, so they're pointing two examples then of how this is an institutional problem in the school system, not just, one or two bad actors.
Right. I mean, the lawsuit, makes claims that were pretty disturbing. I mean, one of the women say that in an essay while she was in high school, she wrote about having this relationship with an adult male. And so other people read it, other adults read it and knew about it. Another one of the accusers say that other adults knew that she was sleeping in bed with an adult volleyball coach, and nobody did anything about it. They're just like example after example where adults could have stepped in and didn't.
Corey, does this federal civil rights lawsuit include information or allegations regarding specific teachers?
It does. So three specific teachers are named in the suit, and then five others are listed, although they're not named. They're either called, person A, person B, or they're listed by their initials.
In the district, it has had cases in recent years of sexual abuse and misconduct where action was taken. Is that right? What happened there?
That's right. So three of the named people out of those, two of them have already been arrested and charged. One person, her name is Bryn Larson. She pleaded no contest to third degree sexual assault of a student in 2021 and was sentenced to 2 years in prison. And another person, Gail Gander, he was charged for sex crimes involving a student in January. And both of those people have, they were immediately removed from their positions. The third person who's named in the lawsuit, it's unclear if that person is still teaching at the school. I asked about that. I've gotten kind of conflicting reports.
So what are the next steps for this federal complaint? What is being sought here?
So it was filed yesterday, and they're waiting for it to be assigned to a judge, and then it will move on. The attorney says that they want a jury trial and that the alleged victims would like to be compensated.
What has been the response from the Oconto Falls School District when you reached out?
You know, I reached out to the school board because the board is named. They did not respond. The superintendent did in a statement, Stuart Russ. He said that these plaintiffs have threatened the district and they made substantial monetary demands last year. He also said that the two people that I mentioned earlier, you know, have been charged and removed. And he said that if there are more instances, that it will be dealt with.
Corey, thank you for your reporting. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That is Corinne Hess, WPR's K-12 reporter based in Milwaukee. And now to find out more on how to keep young people safe from predatory behavior and how the current system is working, we turn to Ian Henderson, Policy and Systems Director at the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Ian, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the nature of schools and other places where young people gather, it often involves adults working alongside children. Is the system as it exists today able to fully prevent predatory behavior?
Well, I think the reporting you all just talked about and the story from yesterday, as well as going back to some of the media going back last fall, the Capital Times did an article about educator sexual misconduct, right, seems to indicate or be an example of system failure with respect to sexual violence and systems failing survivors. And, you know, there are plenty, sadly, there are plenty of other examples, whether it's campus sexual abuse within sports or the military, right? This seems to be yet another example of systems failing survivors.
When sexual misconduct or abuse happens, you know, knowing who to report it to and being able to rely on a response certainly is very important. What does that look like when this is working well and there's a culture of safety?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we heard about that just in the previous conversation, right, about adults, right? When we're talking about child sexual abuse prevention, right, ultimately we want the responsibility on intervening to fall on adults. We don't want that to fall on kids, right? And so we want adults to intervene and to stop the abuse and to intervene and to respond to the survivor. But I think that's particularly true with adults who are in positions of responsibility or authority, right? Just looking at the reporting regarding educator sexual misconduct and what we've learned over the past 6 months or so seems to be cases where, right, nothing was done. And really that's not an option, right? We need to have ultimately child sexual abuse prevention adults who know and are aware of something intervening and doing something to stop the abuse.
Ian, the federal lawsuit against Oconto Falls School District, it alleges there was a climate that allowed for repeated abuse to happen over and over spanning years. How difficult is it to root out a culture of abuse and create a healthy environment where young people can thrive and be safe?
Right. I think that's a really good question. I think it speaks to the need for investing in comprehensive sexual violence prevention efforts. Right. I think, you know, there are, you know, we heard about some of the new laws that have been signed, you know, and those things can help. But right, we're not going to be able to legislate our way out of this problem. Right. We need ultimately to look at, you know, what are the social norms that exist in our culture that allow this to happen. And so I think, you know, educating people about the dynamics of sexual abuse, particularly sexual abuse involving kids, looking at the power disparity between educators and youth, right? I think that's what has to happen is an investment. Ultimately, we don't want any more survivors, right? We don't want this to happen to anyone else. And so I think that's going to take looking at and examining the social norms that exist that support and allow sexual violence to perpetuate.
You say we can't legislate our way out of this, but this month we have two new laws. Governor Evers signed a new law that makes grooming a felony. The other regarding communication between employees and students. How effective do you expect these new laws to be at prevention?
Well, I think, you know, I think they can help, absolutely, right? And I think we supported both of those bills. They can fill in gaps, particularly with respect to grooming, right? That some of the behaviors regarding grooming fall short of what we say contact sexual violence, right? That might fall under our existing criminal statutes, right? But I think it's also important to acknowledge we've had, back to some of the cases that you all have uncovered and talked about with respect to the lawsuit, or even going back to the reporting last fall, right? We've had mandatory reporting laws, or we have them. We've had existing child sexual assault laws, right? And so I think we can't rely on the criminal legal system as our sole focus for addressing sexual violence, right? A, it only offers one type of accountability. It offers punishment. And for some survivors, that may be what they want, but for others, they may not want that. They don't want this to happen to someone else. And we're talking about educators, right? Ultimately, that might mean maybe that person doesn't get to work with kids anymore, right? Maybe they lose their job, right? And I don't, there are different standards with respect to the criminal legal system as there are for employment. But ultimately, I think about the access that educators have to kids or anyone who has access to kids, right? I don't want to just hyper-focus on educators, although that's obviously what we're talking about here, right? I think it's fair to say we should expect a higher standard on who is engaging and interacting with our kids on a day-to-day basis, right? And having a higher standard for that. So yes, the new laws can help, but we can't just rely on the criminal legal system as a sole solution for addressing the problem of sexual violence.
And predatory behavior toward children, it has been a topic that has come up in political circles, in the media. Why are these conversations happening now?
Well, I think it is not uncommon when there is media attention on sexual violence, which obviously, you know, as someone who works in the anti-sexual violence field, shining a light on the fact that that is a problem, we appreciate that, right? But it's also, I think, true that what we see happening often is when there's a lot of media attention on a particular issue related to sexual violence, in this case, if it's educator sexual misconduct, right? Mm-hmm. It has been in the news recently, not just yesterday, but going back to last fall, I think it's not uncommon for survivors to see and read that and to, you know, therefore come forward, right? That we see that happen not infrequently.
Realizing they're not alone. Ian,
absolutely.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me and appreciate you covering the story.
Ian Henderson, Policy and Systems Director at the Wisconsin Coalition Against Sexual Assault.